Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Welcome to Fat Mascara. I'm Jess.
I'm still Jen.
Still Jen.
I'm hot, but I'm still Jen.
We have quite the show this
yes,
week.
Yes, we do. Speaking of hot, people get crazy in New York City in the summer. So we're going to be talking about...
Crazier.
Stay with us. It's not quite beauty, but we both have crazy stories of New York City commute. We've been waiting to tell each other until you guys were here to listen in. So we're doing that at the top.
It's nuts.
And then we will talk beauty. Mineral oil. What's the deal? Sorry, I had to. Lastly, pre-shampoo treatments. There's a bunch of new ones, but they've been around for a while. What do they do? Do you need one?
And then we have our esteemed guest, Jean Godfrey June.
JGJ in the house.
Formerly of Lucky, now beauty director of Goop.
Goop. I like how you said that.
Goop.
Goop.
I mean, JGJ, just hanging out with GP, you know.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
She's really kind of like living the natural beauty dream. So we're going to find out what that's all about.
New York, I love you, but you're bringing me down. New York, I love you, but you're bringing me down.
So Jess and I live in New York City, as you know. She's mentioned before her crazy neighborhood. I've talked about living here. This week, I've been dying to tell you this, and I realize my parents are going to hear the story for the first time on the podcast. Oopsie. So I was on the train. What is your face? You're scared.
No, I'm just like, this is my listening face. 8:15
in the morning on the A train coming in from Brooklyn, and I saw two people like have words a little bit, but I had my headphones on. It was a 6-foot-tall woman and an equally 6-foot-tall man, and maybe she bumped him on the way out. I don't know, but she left the A train. Packed A train. So she's already out on the platform. So I take off my headphones because I can see him yelling after her. So I take off my headphones and he's like, I barely touched you, bitch. I'm sorry. I'm going to say bitch because he did. She goes, holds onto the door of the A train and hocks a loogie, spits across 10 people to spit on him.
Oh my God, that's so disgusting.
And you know how disrespected people get when they get spit on. I get it. Them's fighting words, right? Dude launches up out of his seat, 8:15 in the morning, barrels through all the people around. I'm holding onto the pole, so he has to, like, move me aside, like, push me aside to walk right past, not walk, run. So his foot lands. I had my tote bag on the floor, and I keep it sort of, like, with one ankle in one side just in case someone was going to try and steal it. You know, I think I'm a
First
smart
of all,
New Yorker.
I'm just so sick by the spitting.
Yeah, that was disgusting. So as he's running out, his other foot landed in the other handle of my tote bag. So he launches out and takes my tote bag with him. So it got stuck on my foot, so I got dragged. Then things fell out. And then within 20 seconds, all of a sudden, the A-train doors are closing, and I'm still holding, not 20, 2 seconds. I'm holding the handle, and I look out, and I see my bag, my wallet, my phone, everything laid across the A-train
cover. Where's the guy?
Out there chasing the woman with my bag around his ankle. And all my stuff spread everywhere.
So he took the bag with him.
Yeah, because his foot got caught in it. So everybody's looking at me like, what's she going to do? The doors are closing. And I was like, bag or what am I doing? Go get my bag. So I get off the train and I go reach for my bag. But
what station are you at?
Hoyt Schmemmerhorn.
Yeah,
my favorite station to say in New York City. I'm so glad you asked that question. So
I
get off.
It.
So I start grabbing at my big tote bag.
Oh my God.
This guy who is literally starting fisticuffs with this woman, starts punching on him, and we're on the edge of the A train platform. And all of a sudden, I was very calm, and I said to my head, I was like, Jen, what are you doing? Step away from the fight. It's just a bag. Like, he's wailing on her right now. So I saw my wallet right on the edge. So I grabbed that, and then
the edge of what?
The A platform. To go down
yes. Why are you grabbing?
Because I saw my wallet. I grabbed it, and then I stepped back about 10 feet, and so everybody's looking at me like, "How the hell did that little girl get caught in the middle of this fight?" So I have my wallet, and then he finally stops with this line: "You bleeding now, bitch?" And she was. He split the top of her brow, so she had blood coming down.
I don't feel
they
bad.
Got in like a fight, like men would get in a fight, and. So my stuff was all – I saw my helmet laying heel over here, my other helmet laying heel over here because I was in flip-flops because I was commuting. So I gathered up everything. This one nice guy that was on the platform helped me. The MTA worker that came over to stop the fight was like, did someone try and steal your bag? What are you doing here right now? Like in your professional clothing at 8:15 in the morning. And I just looked at him and I was like, it's a long story. And I took my bag and I got on the next A train that was coming. But – you're asking why I wore the same outfit 2 days in a row. I thought I got everything back into my bag, except I realized that night when I got home at late, that my keys had fallen out and onto the tracks. Mm-hmm. They must have, because I checked the whole platform, so I got locked out for the night.
Okay, and you don't have
Are you writing questions down?
I'm writing down some valuable lessons that I think
we learned. Okay, share them with everybody.
One is, and this is in this. There's no hierarchy of, importance here. Don't grab shit that's near the platform.
Edge. Step away from the edge.
Yeah, the edge. Like that's
even your wallet?
Everything
you're right, your wallet is replaceable. You're right.
Like
that's why I did then step away. Okay, lesson one.
But like,
what else?
I don't even go over the yellow line.
Oh no, this was like ready to fall into the tracks.
I'm sorry, Jen.
Like, it was crazy. But I did step away.
Stupid.
I was calm. Lesson two.
You could, someone could push you. Like, you don't even...
Oh, I know. And that's the thing, because they were moving around.
Yeah, yes.
You know, you've seen a fight. You move around. It was, very physical, so I had to step away.
Right. Like they were like a Tasmanian devil, like a tornado. Like, you don't...
It actually kind of was like that.
Yeah, so I don't care what's near the platform. I don't care if it's, your mother's, grandmother's, wedding ring. Like, just don't fucking do it.
Yes,
okay? Second thing is, my dad says this literally every single time I see him, or when I'm on the phone with him, he says this, and I'm always like... My brother and I make fun of it. We do mouth the words as he's saying them or say it before him.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure your bag zip your bag.
That was a lesson I learned. Zip your bag.
Zip your fucking
Nothing
bag.
Nothing would have fallen out. I could have grabbed my bag back probably even.
Yeah, you could have grabbed it back and or washed your bag.
It was
bye-bye.
Just sitting there open all floppy waiting for someone in fisticuffs to step in it.
Right, exactly. It made the whole situation so much messier. So literally. I never thought of that happening.
Well, now.
I just think, someone's going to pickpocket my wallet or zip your G-damn bag. Okay, zip your bag. And I'm learning that lesson too. I'm actually
Let's learn it together.
It.
Yeah. Listeners are also learning. Zip your bag.
Zip your bag. And the third one is that women can be vicious too. God.
That was my favorite part. So all the guys I've told the story to zero in on the fact that the man punched the woman. I was like, that's sort of a side part of the story.
That actually, I don't...
She spit in his face!
That is, I'm still so disturbed by that.
I know!
If, a killer was coming for me, I still don't know if I could, have, the gall to spit in their face.
I don't think I even could get up enough moisture to spit in someone's
face. It's just so disgusting. Okay,
what happened to you?
Wow, that was a really... There's so many layers to that story. My story does not have the action, but, I'm walking to the subway where I live in Chelsea. There are many, Chelsea is a safe area. I don't want you guys thinking that I'm in some unsafe place. Very busy. It really is the crossroads of the city.
Yeah.
So I'm at the 23rd Street subway station about to walk down, but then there's like hordes of people going up the stairs, so I'm waiting. And you know, you're waiting for everyone to come.
Salmon. Yeah. I call it salmon.
Yeah, salmon. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I didn't want to fight the salmon. So I'm just waiting there. And then I feel like kind of like hot breath, like kind of like someone invading my personal space mm-hmm. behind me. And I turn around and there is a woman. She does not look like she's ready to go to work. She's not like your like career gal. She's like an older lady, but she didn't look like she was
the other homeless person that screamed in your
yes,
face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And her mouth is open and she's inching towards me. She's wearing orange pants, like bright orange pants and like a t-shirt or something. And she has her mouth open and I don't see teeth, but it's not that she doesn't have teeth. It's just like, that's her, like it's a creepy, like horror movie, uh-huh, you know, like kind of uh-huh. Like just, I just see a black
You're
hole.
You're painting a much prettier picture than I did.
Black hole, yeah. Black hole. And she's looking at me and I'm thinking she's about to ask me something. Maybe she doesn't speak English. And she just literally gets maybe 2 inches from my face. Uh-huh. And I'm looking at her and I'm kind
What's
of like,
happen?
I'm frozen because I'm scared. Mm-hmm. And she starts to smile, but in scary smile.
The face you're making right now
no, it was so,
so scary. Disturbing.
It was one of the most disturbing things. And I back away, start backing away uh-huh. from her. It was like slowly, because I didn't want to be like, I thought maybe she needed
Jess's
help.
Jess's eyes are so big right now. You can see the white all around the iris. Well,
I thought she needed help.
She does need help.
But like, I thought she was coming to me for help.
Oh,
but
no,
then
not
I realized she was
help.
Coming to scare me or something. And I backed away. And then I started to walk away and I saw people kind of being like, what's this creepy dynamic? I could mm-hmm. see people looking at mm-hmm. me as they were walking down the subway. And I started to like, I scurry. That's the only word I could use. I was scurrying away from her and she started following me, but like fast. Like this, I've never seen a woman
with
like,
the big eyes still.
And the open mouth. Uh-huh. And then it turned into a dark smile.
Joker. I'm getting Joker vibes.
It was scary. And she freaking followed me for 2 blocks. I was scurrying. I tried to get a taxi cab. And like, of course, there's no taxi cabs when I'm going to work. And I'm like, my hand out, but I'm trying not to look scared. And people are walking down like the city street. And I keep on turning around and I see her with the scary smile and the orange pants. It's not fucking funny.
But the face you're making is so good.
She,
and I have a lesson for you.
And then I finally cross the street.
Uh-huh.
I cross the street. And then she can't because there's too many cars.
Uh-huh.
And I cross the street and I see her across the way and we're both on opposite corners of the street. She's staring at me and smiling at me.
Never said anything.
No, it's like, you ever see It? Stephen yeah. King's It yeah. and the clown is just like,
yep.
it's
that's the face
it
you're making.
It was like that. And then
we really need to go to video soon.
Oh my God, I know. I get into a cab.
Yeah.
And I'm like looking and I can't even speak. And I was like, big tower, World Trade, one World Trade. And he's like, he got mad at me because he was like, slow down. Like, you know, speak calmly because I wasn't calm.
Yeah.
And I looked
freaky.
At the lady and she's still smiling at me.
As
we drive away, we hit a stoplight immediately right away. She's still there.
Here's my lessons.
What?
You ready? Don't look so cute. I feel like she was like stalking you.
No.
You.
No. Like, where'd you get those pants?
Yeah.
No. No, it was scary. And I talked to my boyfriend about it and he's like.
Your fiance.
My fiance. And he was like, he's like, she probably did like 10 other people. Like, you're not special. He's
Aww.
Like. But like,
creepy.
Maybe she was mentally ill and that's not funny. And she was doing this
all
day.
Yeah.
But she
that's
was.
Creepy.
She was
it's almost creepier
me.
Than if someone was aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was like
and I don't know why
aggressive.
I said like, what's wrong with you? Or like, get away. I don't know. I was frozen. I was choked
yeah, it's weird.
Up.
It's weird. I don't know what the other lesson
Isn't
is.
Isn't that so scary?
We need to learn about evasive commuting.
Yeah.
Like sort of like how to get a car between you and the weird person behind you.
Oh my God.
Or how not to get in the middle of a fist fight on the subway.
This city is bonkers. I'm ready to
come
do
visit
the podcast
us. Listen,
from like Alaska.
If you guys are in New York, by the way, do DM us because we've been getting lots of DMs.
Yeah.
People visiting New York for the summer and want to know where to go.
That
and
is
we'll
true.
Give you places that are lovely, beauty shops you can go to, commuting advice. Come to New York City. We're not saying it's always
yes,
like this.
Yes, no, yeah. Don't worry about it.
But,
it's,
oh my God, I'm so...
It takes all kinds.
Okay, your story is equally creepy.
Yeah.
I'm glad we shared.
Jen, the other day we put up our Raise a Wand post, and it was the Kevin Aucoin like celestial skin thing that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our fabulous followers said that she wanted to buy it, but it had mineral oil in it, and that was a no-go for her.
Okay.
And I was interested in that because I don't think of mineral oil as a problem.
Right.
But I have heard that before. I just haven't heard it in a while. It's one of those things like, I don't lose X, I don't use Y.
Yeah, everybody has their little list of like ingredients they're not into. Was she allergic? Do we know?
She wasn't. She actually wrote back. She said like, I just heard it's bad. It was sort of like a rumor thing. So I wanted.
They say.
Yeah, they say.
People say. Yes. I love when people start like that. They say it's bad for you. Who says?
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on mineral oil?
So I spoke to our fabulous friend, Dr. Ranella Hirsch, up in Cambridge. Mm-hmm. So that automatically means she's smart.
Yeah, of course. She's a dermatologist.
And she said that mineral oil has been vilified and there isn't an exact answer. Mm. She said, on one hand, it is used extensively to moisturize, but it is a large molecule. I don't know why that's like a huge problem because like sometimes large molecules are good for, you know, keeping in moisture. It is occlusive.
Right.
And that's
then
a
it'll
good
sit
thing.
On the barrier. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And she said, as a general rule, moderation is what's best. One ingredient in one product is not likely to end the world as we know it. I love her. She's so funny. But can also make, basically, it doesn't matter if it's like one thing in like the ingredient list. That's
right.
Basically the net of what
right.
she's saying. So I really wouldn't worry about it. I think the main point is to just like say that there is no like hard line yes
right.
or no. And
that's, right.
I feel like is the case with so much of, you know, the controversies that we try to clear
right.
up here.
And mineral oil in that product, which I've tried, that Kevin Aucoin, such a small amount compared
yeah.
to like a petroleum jelly.
Exactly.
Because it doesn't feel like that. It's lovely and light and slippery. So this has been a lovely PSA on mineral oil, hasn't it?
Yep.
Paid for by the Coal Industries of America. No, I'm just kidding.
Splish, splash, I was taking a bath. Long about a Saturday night. Yeah, rub-a-dub, just relaxing in the tub. Thinking everything was all right.
Jen, I know you told me that you were really looking to expand your beauty routine.
Because I don't use enough products
yeah.
as it is.
You want to be later for work in the morning.
Absolutely.
So what about a pre-shampoo? How do you feel about that?
When they first started coming around with pre-shampoo treatments.
Big beauty.
What are you trying to sell me now? A pre-shampoo that I'm going to then go wash out? But then the concept started to make sense in some ways for me. What do you think of
them? It
took
me a little while. Like I was at, so I had a desk side with Orbay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad I said Orbay on the air because a lot of people say Oribe. They like, they're huge fans of Oribe.
Or Oribe, I've heard.
Oribe. Oh, yeah. Oribe.
Orbay.
Yeah, Orbay. So I had a desk side with them the other day and they're coming out with a new pre-shampoo mask.
Mm-hmm.
It's gorgeous. It's really like stunning. Comes out later this year. But I said like, well, why like do you need one? Like, how does it actually work? They had to explain it twice to me because I was just like, it just seemed kind of like a fake thing. What it does is for people that color their hair, which I am now part of that camp, if it's not so much the shampoo that's taking your color out, it's the water.
And the minerals in the water, the
yeah.
metals and all that. Yeah.
That's really what's happening. So if you put this pre-shampoo thing on, it's like theirs is like a balm, work it through your hair. It has a little bit of a barrier that keeps the water out, almost like a little, oh, they had the best analogy. It was like putting, if you have a piece of wood,
mm-hmm.
and imagine putting that wood underwater, washing it, and then like taking it out and doing this every day or every few days. That wood looks pretty janky after a couple of weeks because
mm-hmm.
of the air and the dry. Now, imagine you put a beautiful sealant, a beautiful coat of like varnish on it,
mm-hmm.
and then you wash it.
I feel like I'm seeing the commercial for like the Dexalac. I forget the name of it.
It's not going to get roughed up as much.
Right.
But I said, well, wait a second. How's the hair going to get clean?
Exactly. Isn't it going to like have residue after time?
It just kind of minimizes. Like it's not really shellacking
right,
your hair.
Right, because part of it's then getting washed off.
Yes, but it's going to.
And you kind of only put it on the lower ends. You probably wouldn't put it near your roots.
Yeah,
that kind.
Yeah.
I had the same desk side, and I was like, these are really only good for like textured hair, though, because they're very oil rich, too. And I think a lot of girls with textured hair, it ends up drier from all the minerals in the shampoo.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a protective oil. But then I was thinking about it. I was like, you know what? This is just like an old product with a new name. Do you remember VO5 little hot oil treatments?
Oh, yeah.
I used to love them. You'd stick them in the warm water for
yeah.
like 3 minutes and then put it in. And then wash it out. So it's almost like a conditioner. You know how they say that if you put a conditioner on dry hair, it absorbs better?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're still getting all the moisturizing, but then you're cleaning your hair after. So I think a lot of the pre-shampoo treatments are moisturizing.
There's a few out right now. I mean, there's actually quite a few. Lenore Grell makes one, very luxurious brand.
That's an old one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember that one. Aaron Coe makes one. Christoph Rabin. I feel like he's having a bit of a moment right now. Living Proof.
Yeah, moisturizing versions. And then there's also the pre-shampoos that are more like, we talked about, scalp exfoliator types. Totally different product, but you also then put it on before you get in the shower.
Alterna makes one for coarse hair.
Yeah, I don't think, if your hair is pretty healthy, I'm not sure that you need a pre-shampoo treatment. But if you have super dry, textured hair or color that you paid a lot for that you want to maintain, or like a weird Ewoky scalp...
I just hit two out of those three marks.
Okay, so maybe you should get one.
I'm definitely going to try the Orbe one.
And have you tried any at all that you like?
I actually haven't tried one.
We should do some experimenting and maybe we can raise a wand to one. I'm right now going to just raise a wand to the old version.
Oh, you know what I did try?
What?
I tried the Philip Kingsley, the elasticizer.
Oh, that's a classic.
And I actually did really notice a difference. So you know what? I can vouch for these guys.
Okay, there you go.
All right, but I'll report back in the Orbe.
All right, sounds good.
I'm the one natural one.
We are with JGJ. If you don't know her initials, you're going to know them. Jean Godfrey June, the beauty director of Goop, but also beauty legend, beauty director of Lucky L.
Author.
Basically, one of the biggest names in beauty. I mean, I don't think I need to really get into it anymore. If you don't know, just tune out.
People have been asking to have you on the show, actually. We've gotten comments.
So good.
Yeah, they're like, when are you going to have Jean Godfrey June?
JGJ.
JGJ is here, people. All right,
this
Jess,
is big.
Kick it off. You used to work together, so.
Yes.
We did.
But I was this was when I had my detour, my fashion. Improbable detour into fashion. I know. But you were the beauty director then, and you at the same time, so you're the beauty director, and you had written a book. Free Gift with Purchase, and you had described your career in beauty. I love the subtitle. All the books have like a subtitle. Free Gift with Purchase, Your Improbable Career in Magazines, right?
In magazines and makeup.
Beauty. It's a little fuzzy.
It's a little bit of a mouthful.
It's also Friday, and I'm like, it's summer, and we know I don't think during that season. But what do you mean by improbable? Because I don't think it's improbable. Like, you know, you're talented, you're pretty.
It was improbable in that, I weirdly am not that into beauty. I always wanted to be in magazines. I went to University of Colorado because if you look on the blow-in cards, you know, the subscription cards in magazines, the return address is Boulder, Colorado, and it was before the internet. I thought that's where they made Vogue and Mademoiselle and Glamour.
You thought Anna Wintour was like sitting in Boulder?
Oh, yeah.
it was just like a mailing house somewhere in there.
It was totally a mailing house. My freshman year, I kind of looked. I was like, all right, you know, I'm not going to get my internship for the first year. I really wanted to be in magazines. But I wasn't particularly into beauty at all. It happened that as I started writing articles, those were definitely the ones that people responded to, and where I was able to work for magazines like Vogue and Elle.
And Vogue, I can't believe I left Vogue out. I'm sorry.
I freelanced for Vogue. I never was on staff at Vogue. My first beauty article I sent in to Vogue. Most people tell
on
you to write
spec.
Wait, you just wrote an article and you sent it?
That was my whole technique for, it's how I got into magazines, really. I wrote about architecture and interior design for super, super obscure magazines that were not on newsstands that were for architects and interior designers. And I really wanted to, my grandmother kept bugging me and being like, when are you going to, you know, when can I buy a magazine at the grocery store that you're in? And so I started sending articles around. You know, all journalism school tells you to like write a proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like, you know, it didn't seem like it would work.
The middleman, just write the article.
I just wrote the article. And I wrote an article and I sent it to New York Magazine about an artist that I knew was doing something. And they published that. And then I went to Santa Fe. So I wrote a little piece for Condé Nast Traveler and sent it in to them and they published it. And then I wrote an article about there was this makeup artist named Bobbi Brown and she was coming out with lipsticks. And it was the first time a makeup artist had made, you know, beauty products. And I wrote an article about it and I sent it into Vogue and they published it. And that I just started writing a lot for Vogue after that. And it was the moment of alpha hydroxy acids also had just been discovered. Oh. And I wrote some alpha hydroxy acid piece and I became the alpha hydroxy expert. And it was a, like, it was a horrible burden because everyone wanted an article on alpha hydroxy acids and they were kind of boring to write. And I felt like Cinderella. I was just like at my computer, like furiously writing about alpha hydroxy acids for like 2 years.
Now, would you
beat a very, yeah. very
I didn't know you were the AHA queen. Now, I have a question. Would you recommend to anyone listening who wants to get into beauty that they start writing articles on spec and sending them to magazines? Because this seems very, you know, this is laborious.
No, it's
requires
not laborious.
A lot of faith, too.
In my opinion, writing, I would say this not just beauty writers, I'd say it about any topic that you want to write about. When you write a proposal email, it's in a different voice than you're going to be writing the story in. The editor has never read your work. They don't know if you're good or not. They're not going to, you know, unless you have the most incredibly unusual idea in the world, you're not going to get hired that way. And it takes just as much effort practically to write the proposal. You're like, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that. And it's like, you could just write it and be done with it. And then if you get rejected, you have an article that you can easily retool in a different voice and send it to a different magazine.
Would you say voice? This is funny because I feel like if people are into beauty, they might not know as much about journalism and what voice means. But you actually came up early in my career, and an editor told me I didn't have a voice yet. And she said, pick out a writer you like and type out whatever she wrote, like word for word.
Ooh, that's such a good idea.
As you say it out loud to understand the rhythm and that sort of voice, too, and the way they put a sentence together and the isms of their writing. And I remember picking out something of yours because you wrote a lot in first person, which was different for beauty too.
At the time it was, yeah.
At the time it totally was. Mm-hmm. And I remember typing it out word for word.
You just like parroted exactly.
Exactly.
You just copied
to get
it.
The rhythm right. going of like how what it was to be.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I was trying to develop my own voice, but like your voice is very distinctive. Did someone help you come up with that, or was that just you stream of conscious? Like, how would you describe it?
I've always written fiction, and, you know, in fiction workshops, you know, you work a lot on voice and do a lot of I definitely had done a lot of trying to write in the style of X writer, Y writer. And, you know, when you do that, you even when you're trying to imitate someone as, you know, obvious as like a Hemingway or something, it still comes out as you. There's something else there that's not, you know, even when you're just blatantly imitating someone. And so I think that helped me develop my voice.
Who's your favorite writer?
Favorite writer.
Or a couple of writers.
I love Joyce Carol Oates. JCO, the greatest.
JGJ. JCO.
I also love JD, Joan Didion. I'm super into Carl Ove Knausen, you know, he writes My Struggle, The My Struggles. I'm super into that at the moment.
I'm so impressed that you said it out loud because I've never said his name out loud.
I
totally could have said it wrong.
Oh, sorry.
There's a lot of writers I love. Ian McEwan, I just read that Nutshell that he wrote Saturday that he wrote. I mean, I love fiction. Hilton Owls, a good friend of mine, is a nonfiction. Well, not always nonfiction, but he is an incredible voice.
Those are good ones.
We accept these.
But in any case, so I think I develop my voice by writing and by reading writers.
So you, and don't worry, we're going to get to Goop, but we just, we're going to get to Goop. So you, you know, I loved your book, Free Gift with Purchase.
Thank you.
I love that you wrote about the magazine industry and, you know, your very, you know, improbable and unusual experience in it. There's a lot of parody, a lot of satire about the magazine industry, like in television, movies. What was the impetus? What was your inspiration for writing about it?
People, to be honest, it was people always ask me, are you going to write a book?
Don't ask us that.
And, well, they always were like, are you going to write a book? Are you going to write a book? And I was kind of like, what book would I write? And I just one day it sort of appealed to me more than it had.
Were you scared?
To write a book? I wasn't scared. It's pretty, I mean,
your book wasn't, for those of you who haven't listened to it, who haven't read it, it's not, it's not mean-spirited. It's your perception
and definitely look. There's some people that read it and probably recognized themselves. I didn't use real names and probably didn't love me as much as maybe they once did.
But I didn't feel like you were like, okay, now I'm writing my my slash and burn or, you know, like scorched earth.
Yeah,
it wasn't
like a Devil Wears Prada send up of the magazine.
I didn't have a particular axe to grind. People suggested it, and then I was like, I'll try it. And
it's an absurd industry, though, and we did want to get into that a little bit.
It's true.
Sometimes
beautifully absurd.
Yeah, and sometimes though, this was also pre 2008, and if anybody doesn't remember, there was like a little bit of an economic meltdown. But in the early aughts, the beauty industry was just so over the top, and I don't think people understood how it works. So I want to go back to that time for a second, just to ask you, did you ever find yourself in a situation in your job and just look around and be like, "How am I here right now?" Give me an example of like when you're like, "I cannot believe this is my job."
I mean, I do that all the time. I still do
even
that.
Even still. When you and Gwyneth are like chilling by the fireplace. You know.
I think it's a key to enjoying life. It's either. But it's a go either way. I think that's the key to enjoying life. If you're not going, whoa, this is happening to me? Really? You know, it's time to
give us some dirt. Was there ever like a mailing you got where you were just like, I cannot believe they just mailed me this thing? Like, I remember one of my bosses got live lobsters, and I was just like, really?
That's grotesque. I never got that. Yeah, that's a bummer.
It was for an OPI.
I was bummed when somebody did send a goldfish once, and I felt like that was kind of
that's
mean.
What was the tie-in to the product?
I think I was on vacation, and someone called me and was like, you just got, like, goldfish. Ew. What do we do? And I was like,
that's a pretty good example of how over-the-top this industry can be, honestly.
People will do something it's still true, that they'll do something that is cute and ties in with their brand and would not delight anyone.
Dry ice. Anything that comes with dry ice.
Dry ice, though. If you have kids, dry ice is like the ultimate bonanza gift. It's not what comes in the dry
ice. Just send the dry
ice. It's the dry ice.
Stick it in their punch and they're like, ooh, it's goblin-y.
Yeah. This is a variation on that question. It's not about the over the top, but when I first got out of college, I got married and moved to Cincinnati. And I was like trying to get a job in advertising, and like I really was like scraping around trying to make it happen. And I had a moment after my book came out that Procter & Gamble had invited me to come and do a reading for their people in beauty in Cincinnati. And, you know, I was working at Lucky at the time, and I was on the plane, you know, landing in Cincinnati, and I was like, if my 22-year-old could have been like Procter & Gamble, the most glamorous, you know, advertising agency in the world. You know, they're not the most glamorous, like, consumer product, you know, thing that I kind of worshipped when I lived in Cincinnati, you know, invited me to, like, come from my job at a Condé Nast magazine to read from my book that I'd just written. I was just like, that's amazing.
Do you think, I mean, obviously, you know, that role is behind you, like, you know, at Lucky, but do you think the magazine industry has changed? Like, that kind of, we're beyond 2008, surely, but like, what about that kind of like glamorous aspect has changed and why?
I mean, I love magazines. I mean,
Jen
them.
And I are still living in the lap of luxury. I don't know if you can tell. Drinking champagne
out of paper cups, which is delicious.
But no, but like, something has clearly changed. I mean, that kind of, I'm not saying it's like, you know, a bare bones industry, but something has changed.
Yeah. I mean, Lucky was definitely on the front lines of the problems that magazines faced and are still facing. Was difficult to be part of. And certainly being in digital, it feels much different. It's instead of doing more with less and trying to get smaller and cut a corner and just do less in general, be more careful, it's always expanding and it's exuberant and you know, people are like, oh, this is our new person who does this almost every week. And it's just, it's a very different optimistic feeling that I didn't feel. I felt that way long ago in magazines, and I certainly didn't in my last experience with them.
Wait, before we get into Goop too, because we want to talk about that more.
Yeah.
When Lucky folded, what did you see yourself doing? Did you see that as like, yeah, I can do whatever I want? Or did you think you'd stay in beauty? I mean, you got into beauty improbably, you told us.
Yeah. Well, I was in a panic. You know, I'm a single mom. I certainly knew that things with Lucky weren't looking good, but it's nonetheless shocking when it happens. And so I was in a real panic, and if I had to do it again, I'd consider a little more what I wanted to do.
What do you mean by that?
I took every job that anybody gave me.
You wrote for me.
Totally fabulous experience. But, and I will never forget the people that did call me. And that's one of the great things about losing your job in that way is you find out all the people that really care about you and call up and are like, hey, let me help you out. And I overdid it a little bit in the work department during that time. But
is that what you mean by you'd consider everything? Like, do you feel like you just did everything?
I might consider, there were some things I did that I'm like, I look back and I don't know. I had this meeting at the end of that year once I was at Goop with my accountant, and he was like, if you had worked about a third less, you'd have made the same amount of money because you kicked yourself into the wrong tax
rate. Right. So, yeah.
So that year of yes, who was the year of yes person?
The Shonda Rhimes.
Yeah, maybe
yeah.
not.
Yeah,
it's the year of maybe.
Yeah, I definitely did everything. But I don't know. I look back on it and I'm glad I had that experience.
Yeah.
I worked for brands. I worked for magazines. I kind of did everything. And it really did give me I can't express what a great feeling it was when people would call up and I'd be like, you know, I knew that person all this time in my career and they are helping me out. And
sure.
It just makes you feel great.
All of this makes perfect sense.
When Goop came around, what were your impressions of that brand and that company? And what is Goop for people who might not know? Come out from under your rock and listen to Jean right now.
Everybody knows Goop.
Goop is a website started in 2008 by Gwyneth Paltrow, and it originated as an email that she was sending around to her friends, essentially with travel, beauty, fashion, health, a lot of health advice, things that she believed in, and it's become this incredible site that still reflects what she believes in, which is very inspiring to be part of.
Had you read it before, or like, what was what was your familiarity with it?
I mean, I've always had, you guys know, I mean, I've always had sort of a, I love a glamorous sort of hippie-ish moment. I live in Nyack, you know.
your whole thing was like boho chic, a dewy cheek, you know, like a Tata Harper this, you know,
yeah.
an organic and, that.
And I'd always, ever since I became aware that there were toxins in beauty products, I was very interested in the companies that were making products that didn't have those chemicals.
Yeah, you were sort of an early adopter on that.
I definitely was. Yeah. And I loved Goop, and I loved what it stood for, and I loved, I mean, the wellness pieces, all the, you know, the medical medium, come on, you know, like, I knew it and loved it, certainly, before I worked there, but I didn't imagine ever working there. I was like, they're in LA, you know.
Yeah, and you'd done some brand stuff, you were saying, you know, after Lucky. How was this role? Like, tell us, because beauty world is changing. Beauty, the brands are creating content now just as much as magazines, if not more. What is your role at Goop like? Like, how is it different than your role at Lucky? Because you had such a very, you know, you were Lucky. People came to Lucky to read your, you know, to read your voice. It's true. I'm not like blowing smoke. Like, you know, they wanted the Jean Godfrey June column.
My role, there are definitely similarities. I'm writing about beauty products I love.
So you still get to write.
Oh, I write a great deal.
Okay.
I write more than I wrote at Lucky.
That's amazing.
And I edit a lot also. And that's the my favorite thing actually is editing. You know how no one has time to read everything? I get to read every single Goop article that I want to read, you know, before it happens. And
not just the beauty stuff, things about wellness and nutrition and all that as
well.
Yeah,
everything.
But you're also in the forefront a little because you've been a featured personality at events and things like that. Did you ever do that before?
Yeah, I definitely. Oh, that's what's different.
Weren't you like in the Hamptons this weekend?
Yes. That's the other thing that's prompting. Yeah, I got you.
She's being modest.
I know.
You were in the Hamptons.
I'm just lame. I was in the Hamptons. I also coordinate a lot with the merchandising team, the people deciding what beauty products we're going to sell on the site and we go back and forth about what we love and what we tried and what fits in our very strict categories in terms of what chemicals are not allowed and those kinds of things. So I do a lot of that, and that's different certainly than magazines. So there is that intersection of commerce and content that Lucky definitely was moving in that direction. Yeah. It was a magazine taking a step in that direction, and I think that this is kind of a natural outgrowth. But also I we do events, and sometimes I'll do one
summit. About
the Goop Summit was so amazing, and we're gonna have another one. There's gonna be one in New York and another one in LA, but it was in LA, and I had nothing to do with planning it or anything, and I just came out to be at it to help people, you know, talk to people about the beauty products that we have, give tips and that kind of thing, be like a kind of Ask Jean standing there. But the summit was, I mean, I couldn't believe it.
What do people want to know? Yeah, tell me about the summit.
What do people keep asking you, too? That's a good question.
Yeah, what's Ask Jean Live like?
Ask Jean Live is, surprisingly, it's really become a lot of people. We've done that kind of thing at Nordstrom also, and I just did in our pop-up in the Hamptons.
Do you get the same question? Like, what is
I mean, the main
common?
Question, which, you know, is different than when I was a beauty editor at a magazine, the main question is people are like, what's the first thing I should go clean with? What's the second thing? What's the most important? Like, I kind of thought I went to Dallas recently for a Nordstrom pop-up that we did. And, you know, I did not think the Dallas, you know, fancy ladies would be like, you know, how do I go clean? But they really were, and they're really enthusiastic about it. And they'll bring their friends and their daughters.
So what's
and
the answer?
Yeah.
I have three. So you know, like my three things that I would go clean with first. Number one is sunblock, which bums everybody out because you have to, you know, with physical mineral sunscreens, you have to rub them in a little bit more.
Yeah, we've
if you don't have to rub it in a little more. The chemical sunscreens in general, you know, the majority of them are among the most irritating chemicals in the beauty industry. And you're putting that on your face, it's going to cause inflammation, which, as you know, is the root cause of aging. So why you'd be putting that on every morning, you know, as your anti-aging gesture, A, makes no sense. B, they degrade in sunlight. So that's why it says reapply every 2 hours. Who does that? No one
Not
does.
Me.
You know, by contrast, a mineral sunscreen is soothing. It's the stuff you put on babies' bottoms to stop diaper rash.
Sure, zinc oxide.
So it's actually good for your skin. The other thing is if you're at the beach, it's like triple important because a lot of chemical sunscreens degrade coral. And
you've talked about that.
You know,
the fishies.
Yeah, like who wants
what are,
to?
Wait, what are your some of your favorite physical sunscreens?
Physical sunscreens. I love Ursa Major. If you've tried that one, there's an SPF 18 that's like, for me, the perfect everyday, just like it smooths right in. Like, I kind of can't believe it, but it works. And it's like, and it feels moisturizing. It doesn't feel that, you know, sort of tacky thing. I love Ursa Major. I love Naturopathica. If you like a really high SPF, came out with a SPF 50 that's like, you can't believe it's a 50
and we
mineral.
Won't look purple.
You don't look purple. They make a 17 that I love that smells like lavender. That's also, but if I'm going to the beach, I like that 50.
Those are good ones. So we're going to clean our sunscreen.
Clean sunscreen.
What's the second thing?
Second thing, fragrance, which is a tough one.
Oh, come on.
Fragrance. The ingredient on the back of any label, it could be even a moisturizer, let alone the ingredient fragrance is a loophole from back in the day when perfumers didn't want someone to be able to copy their formula.
Mm-hmm.
So you can put anything into that ingredient that you want. So say you don't want parabens.
Right.
You look on the back of a label, you don't see the word paraben after anything, but you see the word fragrance. There could be plenty of parabens. There could be phthalates, which there often are in fragrances to make them last longer. you know, really bad endocrine disrupting, you know.
It's an unknown. Like,
well, it's an unknown, except that a lot of those ingredients are really bad. And the, you know, GP has kind of a great way of putting it. She's like, you know, we don't deserve to be spraying endocrine disruptors on our bodies. You know, why is that okay? Why is that a luxury?
But her products smell good, so they don't have, so no, what's in them?
They're essential oils.
Instead of that loophole fragrance catch-all term that might have all that other stuff.
We have a trend, and this is something that the Environmental Working Group is very much in favor of, is just, it's not necessarily only use essential oils, although we love them because you get all these other cool properties with them. Mm-hmm. But it's about transparency. Like, mm-hmm. There should be label transparency. You should be able to know what you're spraying on your body and whether that thing is a toxin, because you really would think about it. I mean, every once in a while, if I'm like, oh, I need perfume and I don't have my usual, you know, I'll spray it on my hair or on my clothes. Wait,
so if you converted over to only natural perfumes?
Oh, for sure. That stuff is nasty.
I don't think I ever do that. Tell us your natural perfume of choice.
Really?
That's,
there's so few.
There are a few, but
some of them are stinky.
Yeah. But Sid, there's some of regular ones are stinky.
That's true.
Come on.
That's a very good point, JJ.
Like, fragrance is incredibly personal
and subjective.
Subjective, and like, does it smell good? I mean, I love Goop. The Goop fragrances, obviously. I love
More than one?
Yeah, there's about to be three.
I'm behind. The Shiso one's good.
The Shiso one is my favorite.
We'll give you that.
Yeah. But there's a cool, the third one is amazing. That's
the one that's coming out.
What's that good? Are you allowed to say anything about it?
I don't think I can say what it's about, but it's
all right. It's going to drop.
It's going to drop, and it's going to be cool.
Can you give us a hint? Like what kind of
summer?
Well, it smells like summer. It's coming out in summer. Our PR is
okay.
PR is saying it's okay to give a little hint.
I'll say hay and stone fruits.
Oh. Plum and hay?
Not
peach
plum,
and
like a little apricoty kind
ooh.
Of
thing.
Like
apricot.
Fruits are hard to do with natural.
Okay.
They're very hard to do. Douglas Little is amazing.
Like, comes up again, this guy.
But he worked on the Shiso one.
He's worked on all of them.
He's good. Oh, he did the first one too?
Yep.
All right, so we have to clean our sunscreen, then our fragrance, and what was the third one that you
The third one, deodorant.
Oh,
And
don't tell me about that study with the cancer thing, because I know it's been debunked. Why do you say deodorant, though?
Because if you get breast cancer, in practically the first sentence that when they tell you, they also say stop using deodorants.
Why do they say that, though?
Because they're doctors, and they
just, they're hedging their bets.
There are all, you know, there's everything that's in that fragrance label in every single one of those things. You know, if you think about, this is where most of your lymph nodes are, or many of them, you're plugging them up and putting, you know, known endocrine disruptors, which are hormone disruptors, right there. Also, there's the fact that, you know, the majority of breast cancers occur in the outer top half of the breast. Anyway, there's
many
reasons.
I'm not ready to agree it's causal, but anecdotally, if you're being super, super cautious, I can see why you would say that.
What woke me up to it was long ago at Lucky, I had a friend who was diagnosed with breast cancer, and went the minute they told her that she had it, they were like, and you must stop using all antiperspirants and deodorants.
So what do you put under your pits?
Well, for years, I would try all the many lovely smelling but not working deodorant.
But not functioning.
Remember that rock thing in the 90s?
Oh my God,
the
rock. They still make it, the crystal? They still make it.
No.
They do.
Yes, I think they do.
I called it in for a story last year.
But I'm telling you, try Schmitz. Have you tried?
Is it get a cream or paste?
No.
Okay, good. Because I don't want to have to stick my fingers into deodorant.
Me neither.
And then you end up touching your mouth.
It's like a weird thing. No, it's like a normal stick. It's this mom in Portland did it, but she's like become huge because it's fantastic.
Schmitz.
Like, there's like a lime mandarin one. There's like great flavors.
But you still sweat though, right? You still feel like the dampness?
I don't. For me, it really like
it does it all.
It's totally different.
That's something
Schmitz,
that for sure you're excited about in the beauty space. What else is exciting you lately? Like, what's going on in the beauty world where you're, other than the movement towards, the shift towards being more natural and transparent, which is obviously what Goop's all about. Like,
definitely.
What have you seen lately that you're like, if I still had my column and my page, well,
you have free reign.
Yeah, what do I say?
Are you really excited by like the limitless space that you have?
I know.
Yes. And it's something, you know, people, certainly when I was in magazines, everybody was like, oh, you know, for the internet, you need to be short and you need to write like five ways to blah, blah, blah.
Untrue.
Yeah. And Goop's the opposite of that. And it's very freeing. Our readers like are happy to read. And so it's great not just to be able to say as much as you need to say. I feel like, but also... Also, just the experts that we have on there to really hear what they think instead of cutting them off and being like, see your doctor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like back in the day, I always used to be like, if it's Jean, it's going to be like a fancy soap situation for like the guests and then a berry lip stain.
Yes.
So and, what today
and
is
then
like,
some kind of like elixir, like yeah, some kind yeah. of.
That makes you dewy. Always dewy. Never
yeah. love a dewy. Dewy. Like something wildly fanciful. Maybe not wildly yeah. fanciful.
Like a name. You were always a sucker
wildly
for a good
something.
Name.
Something.
Yep. A good name.
And
I
then
really
dewy.
Like.
And then something that's going to make you dewy. So yeah. So what's cooking right now at Goop?
Well, let's see. What do I use that right now? I'm into have you guys tried Damamiel, that oil? Oh my god.
No.
She makes these oils for each season.
Okay.
And I believe she was an acupuncturist and Chinese medicine specialist, and she's like French, but she lives in England on a farm.
It's so okay. up your alley.
They,
love it. Okay.
But Jessica from Shen introduced me a jillion years ago to the, she was just like, oh, try this oil. And I tried it and I was like, why is this oil so different? Couldn't, and then I found out that like, she meditates on the oils. She sings to them. Her employees do, you know.
We talk, you know, Jean, why can't you just be on the podcast like fortnightly? Because we talk about
anytime.
Everything that you're talking about. Now I'm kind of like, I'm just giving ourselves props. But yes, like putting energy into the product.
I think it makes a difference.
Singing to them, putting yeah. the healing into them.
Damamiel.
But
summer
you,
oil.
But
summer
do you just oil. Like the okay. idea or is it actually really nice like on your skin?
It's really nice on your skin. That's what I like. Jessica from Shen gave me the bottle long before I ever learned about the story of it. And I remember being like, why is this oil so good?
Shen's a store here in New York, and
oh,
she's
Shen
the Brooklyn. Proprietor.
Yes.
Proprietress.
That's a Jean Guffrey Jean word.
How much of it, and I'm not saying that you don't like the products, but like, are you just, like, I just love stories sometimes. Yeah. Like, I'm pretty transparent when I like the stories. Like, is it the stories too that get you? Because like, don't you think a lot of the Goop stories are like, this is just an amazing story. Like that's why people like, oh, sorry, David Letterman, he's not on anymore. Like Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon. I feel like they're always like on Goop today.
Today, yeah.
You know, shoving a jade egg up your hoo-ha.
I mean, the jade egg.
Remember we
huge.
Grounded? We talked about it.
Yeah, it's pretty. My boyfriend and I go out and have breakfast outside, and we're like, we're grounding. That's our time.
Yeah. Well, and I was like, listen, I'm so Jilly, it's called taking your shoes off and
yeah,
going
yeah,
outside.
That's
okay.
But there's always a kernel of truth. Like, yes, we need to get in touch with nature. Yeah. I went grounding outside of my parents, like, you
and
know,
it's a good thing.
House the other day. I was literally just standing there.
Yeah.
And but Jean approved. She's nodding.
It felt fantastic.
Yeah,
so
it does.
The
right?
narrative is like 50% of what makes Goop great, I think.
It's a lot of stuff that's overlooked by the sort of conventional world and that people want to know about. Mm-hmm. People are realizing that our healthcare system, our beauty product making system, all the various systems, our food system, aren't offering them everything they want.
On that note, you said that people want this information. In the last maybe 6 months or so, like what's something that you posted that you were like, I cannot believe how viral that went or how many comments I got, like a really popular something.
I mean, the jade egg was an epic.
I have one in me right now.
Oh, my God. The jade egg, like, took over the world. It was crazy.
It was really
like,
cool.
And it was something that when I remember bringing it up with GP being like, she's just going to laugh at me. And she was like, oh, yeah, bring it. Like, she has a sixth sense about it. It's crazy.
About what will play
what,
well.
What people are excited about. And I'm excited. I mean, that's something on Goop. It's not beauty, but just sort of our whole discussion around sex is something that I feel like it's information women want. And it's never been presented in, like, a free, normal way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
like,
always,
we all
like,
do
too
it.
Sexy. Like, yeah. That you're like, okay, like, not for
how
me.
How do you feel about those pubic hair oils? Like,
I've definitely... I think the stubble cream from Fur is fantastic, and I have used just the oil.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice, but I don't know
if you...
I don't know that I'm not like, oh, my God, I need that oil.
Do you think that people, while we're on this larger topic, are moving away from waxing?
and more sure it's a natural look.
I mean, like, it does seem that way.
A long time ago, like, I rock a 70s mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah, yeah, she did say that. And I have to say I agree with her.
I thought you were saying, I've seen it.
I have not
no,
seen it.
She no, wasn't lying.
No, not no, the case. No, no, no. No.
We're referencing a quote from a long time ago.
It goes along with this, like, new wave of feminism in a way.
Yeah, I mean, like, the only representations we have of sex are sort of these very, like, super health cautious, not fun sounding things, and then also porn, and neither of those
nothing
are really
in between. Yeah.
They don't reflect people's actual experience.
It's a very good
and
point.
And you know, the personal is the political thing. You know, women enjoying sex and having a good time.
And then putting
change
an
the world.
And a jade egg up in there. Well, okay, so you don't roll your eyes at the jade egg, but, like, are there, okay, beauty trends, back to beauty.
Beauty trends, yeah, sorry.
Are there just beauty things right now in the beauty space that you just roll your eyes at that you're like, A, we would never cover that, but B, personally, I just can't get down with that?
There's the super natural look, and then there's the very contoured. I feel like that's kind of going out at this point anyway, but people still love it, you know, these anything that's sort of about obscuring your skin and hiding behind this weird mask, I feel like that just makes people insecure.
It makes the wearer insecure. Yeah. It makes the looker.
Everybody.
The looker.
Like, imagine if men were like, yeah, erase your face. No way. You know, you can put this filter on and no one will know what you look
blur
like.
Blur cream is like a face eraser.
I don't like hate on a blur cream. I don't mind a little diffusion.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
yeah. No, me
but
too.
Like a pancake. A pancake face.
I have never. It's not a current. It's an always trend. Is just sort of like super exhaustive instruction.
Yeah,
like, anything that's not just like, oh, I feel pretty. This makes me feel nice. I feel cute. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're like, I'm doing step four. I feel like when
you like a simple gesture, as they say in the beauty world, like
I do.
Swipe or a dab. Mm-hmm.
I do
not a like paint by number kit.
Yeah.
But what about people that are like, I need it. Like, I, you know, it must be nice. Like, I need to do this.
I mean, I'm 100,000 years old and I've never been, like, you know, a beauty queen. So, people are like, I need it. I need it. You know, I also think if you're like, oh, I, you know, I can't stand these wrinkles or something, you know, I would go a dermatological route rather than a extra makeup route. I just think, you know.
Right, like go see a derm and talk about in-office procedure kind of stuff.
Like, I feel like makeup should be fun. You know,
right.
For us it is
not
fun.
Not a crutch.
And it's not that we're so beautiful. It's that we've sort of...
It's icing.
It's icing on the cake. It's a toy for an adult. That sounds weird, but, you know, like, I feel like...
No, other people have brought that up. It's like crafting. We don't do sewing anymore. We don't do all that home ecky stuff that women
used to do. That was Troy.
Troy, he's like, it's... Crafting in this day and age, in a way.
Yeah. It is. And I feel like when it's there to make you feel pretty, great. When it's not.
I hear you. So what's the goopiest thing that you do now that you're like full on gooped? Like, do you like make oils at home or?
You're
always goopy. That's why I
definitely have a goopy angle. I would say the thing that's changed since I've been at Goop is I definitely take more supplements. I like ashwagandha. I'm super into.
Sorry,
I feel like it's changed my life.
About the ashwagandha.
It changed my life.
Well, what is ashwagandha?
Ashwagandha is an adaptogen, which is a kind of herb that that sort of supports your body in like having a better immune system. That kind of I'm so not articulate about it.
But here's my thing. I'm
like,
with you.
There's many, like if Moon Juice Lady, all her stuff is adaptogens.
Amanda Chantal Bacon?
Yes. A lot of her stuff is adaptogens. So it's like, this will give you more energy. This will calm you down.
I'm sorry, we can pause if you don't know the answer, but like, what is an adaptogen?
It's herbs. It's different herbs.
I was literally just pretending that I knew. And
I was too,
smart.
And then I was like, you know what? If I don't know, I don't know if all of our listeners would know. It's just another way to say an herb that affects a change in your body.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Like an active.
Like an active
in an skincare. Adaptogen is
two
supplements.
Yeah. And okay. I started taking this ashwagandha from Sun Potion, who is a big maker of adaptogens. And I started taking it because my women's health person was like, take it for sort of feeling better and having less stress. And I've always had allergies my whole life. Yeah. I'm like really allergic. I have to have a couple of months at least of like major Flonase and Afrin every year. Mm. And I started taking it last summer, and I was taking it for stress. I wasn't, you know, I didn't expect to see it. And I just all of a sudden, sometime in the fall, I was like, wait a minute, I haven't taken Flonase. I haven't taken Afrin. I haven't, and I still haven't.
Wow.
Like, and you've been on the sun potion ashwagandha.
It's the ashwagandha and the D3.
Ashwagandha is like a root, an Indian root, or am I making that up?
I think so.
We're going to fact check that. Might be Indian ginseng is what the...
So it's a pill, or is it like you put in tea?
It's a very bad tasting powder. It's incredibly bitter.
How do you get it down?
You put it in coffee and you can't taste it.
Oh, interesting. Cool. She's full of advice.
That's awesome.
It's like I could not recommend it more highly. That and high vitamin D3. Those are the two things I started like really taking.
I didn't even know there were multiple types of vitamin D.
D3 is the thing most people are deficient in.
Do you feel a difference? I mean, how would you know? I guess
I don't know which other stuff. Of those two things changed my.
We have a double variable situation.
We have a double variable, exactly. Not a double blind study. but my allergies have gone away, and I do feel less stressed out. So.
Is there a D3 that you like, or just like the basic, like CVS or whatever?
The basic is fine. The key that you want is you want about 2,000 IUs, which is higher than what they used to recommend, and they've sort of moved the dial up.
I see.
Some people are like 5,000. I feel like 2,000 is a nice mid-range, but I am not a doctor.
Very cool.
Those are good positives to take home. Here, now I want to ask you about a negative. In your career, mm-hmm. not just at Goop, what is like the worst reaction you've ever had to a beauty product? We've all been there as beauty editors, where you were like, I will never do this again. You don't have to name names, but like maybe a type of product or service. Has there been
I was once at a spa that's closed, so I can say it. It was the Main Chance in Arizona spa. It was the Elizabeth Arden spa from a long, 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 long time ago. And it was a fantastic experience, except that I was going to get this wax treatment. Like it was like a moisturizing, like rejuvenating something. And I idiotically went for a run right before in the hot Arizona sun. And then I was late and I rush in and they put me in some sort of contraption and they poured freaking hot wax on me. And,
like paraffin or whatever.
Yeah, all over my body. And I've never been so hot. And like the nurse person kept coming and like bringing me like a cool compress. And I was like,
horrible.
I don't need a cool compress.
You were getting mummified.
Like, you were getting like,
I was being embalmed.
You were being embalmed in real time in Arizona.
Yeah,
I did not want full body paraffin. No. Even the paraffin glove thing at the manicurist, I'm like,
Yeah, I know. I'm like, what is it really doing? Yeah, lotion. What's wrong with lotion?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Okay, so what's the best beauty advice you've ever gotten from either an expert or?
Let's see. Best beauty advice, I would say, is pat, don't rub.
Oh, it's a classic.
Damn it. I was going to say, what's the best one you ever gave? Because you gave that advice in like a book or... We've met the magazine.
We've said it on the show, too.
And I gave that to someone. What to give to somebody? I gave it to all our listeners on the show.
Oh, so good.
But I cited you.
Oh, so good.
And people literally will, like, put on Facebook or Twitter, and they'll say, like, Pat, don't rub. Like, it just multiplies. It just
keeps good.
Going. But it changed my life.
Yeah.
Because instead of, like, pulling, like, my crepey under eye skin, like, all dry, like,
smearing.
Just pat, and you deposit more concealer.
Well, the way I explain it to people is I'm like, if you rub in your concealer, you are taking you're taking the concealer and you're moving it to a different part of your face.
And then
you have to put more on. Yeah. And you look cakey and crazy. And I always say pat and you're gonna think it's not gonna blend. Like people I think, you know, you have to have a little faith for a second. And
it might take a lot of patting.
Yeah,
you'll get
just
there.
Pat. Maybe you blend a little. Just tap to blend a little bit. But just pat.
I mean, it'll sink in. Your skin warms it up, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh my god,
is there a concealer you've been loving lately?
I love the RMS. Uncover Up.
I mean, I really think you should
creamy.
Get paid now.
Yeah, I like
every
creamy,
time someone
thick.
Says RMS on this show. Take a shot. Then send us $1. Am I right?
$2.
I mean, it's been like 8 episodes in a row.
She is a genius. I love her.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay,
and always apply it with a brush.
Apply it with a brush.
Oh, well, then where's the pat come in?
The pat comes after you've deposited it. So the brush allows you to be totally only put it on like the dark part or the zit. Okay. Don't put it on the area around it. So that's why you use a brush.
There's the precision.
Okay, wait. So you're putting on it on with the brush or you're putting it on with your finger? Sorry, I'm a little
confused.
You
put it on with the brush.
So which brush do you use? Or doesn't matter?
To me, it doesn't matter so much. Okay. You get a concealer brush and it'll work. You know, I have not noticed differences in quality.
So get out of here. You're really putting on the concealer every morning with a brush?
Oh, yeah.
And then?
And then I pat.
To sink it in.
To blend it, yeah.
So are you, this is where this is where really-
Jess is laid back. She's really-
Where audio fails us. You're putting it on underneath the eye.
Only where it's dark.
Okay. Oh, and then you pat it in.
Then you pat it in where it's dark. For me, that's the inner corner of my eye and the outer corner of my eye.
Okay.
Oh.
But for other people, it's in different spots.
Right.
I just do a big old triangle swath and hope for the best.
I just go all over my eyes.
You don't need that much. Like, you just go with
the dead person. And then obviously the padding is easier because you didn't just load on a whole bunch, I guess.
You definitely use less if you use a brush and it's more targeted
now,
exactly
where
I need it.
Afterwards? Or no. You're not into the setting?
Are you
not
into setting? I don't see you using a little sponge. Use a little blender?
No. I just use my finger.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about more products.
Yeah.
Okay. Because this is going to be, we always ask people at the end, what some of their favorite products are. I feel like this is going to be our best one ever.
It's going to be pretty clean, though.
Okay.
It's pretty clean.
It is going to be pretty clean.
Let's start at the top. No, I'm just kidding. From the head down. No, but let's talk hair. Because we haven't talked hair at all.
Yeah.
How do you take care of your hair?
Well, I think when I had my daughter, I went to Sally Hershberger for the first time. And I had always sort of gotten up in the morning, washed my hair, blow dried it, put in some mousse and some hairspray, and hope for the best. And and she looked at me and she was like, you have waves like Giselle. Why would you blow dry your hair?
It's so true, yeah.
And I don't have many other Giselle attributes. So
were you blow drying it straight with a round brush and stuff?
I mean, I was just kind of blow drying it
Like air.
Like, I don't know.
You're doing something to it.
I was just like, I got to do something to it. And she was like, no, don't do anything to it. And she changed my life. I've saved so many hours of my life. No product.
Do you shower you wash it in the morning or at night?
I wash in the morning every other day.
And you let it air dry?
Yes.
What shampoo?
I switch them around, I think. You always want to know this one's working or that one's working. I'm super – at the moment, the one I'm really into is True Botanicals. Have you tried it? It's they come in these silver canisters. They smell really good. And I love Leavitt and Chin leave-in conditioner. So it's like a spray.
Familiar,
oh, it's Leavitt and Chin has the cutest packaging. It's very kind of medicinal, but yet also glamorous.
You probably have a good bathy, #bathy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make it a thing. Yeah. Like John bathy. Oliver on Last Week Tonight.
Oh, my God.
Write it down below. #bathy. you probably have really cute
And do
products.
You use conditioner, too?
Yeah, I like True Botanicals. Mm-hmm. I like Rahua makes a nice conditioner.
Oh, I love Rahua.
Rahua. I like that one. I like Reverie Nude conditioner is really good.
Reverie.
I don't know that one.
Reverie Nude.
Are they sold in the Goop marketplace?
They are all sold in the Goop marketplace.
Good to know.
Cool.
Thanks for doing that merchandising.
What kind of stuff is happening in your face right now? Because I always feel like you were very loyal to the same products at Lucky.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard for me to move away to a new. I mean, I love. Let's see. My most. I was just writing about this morning how much I love Olio and Osso. It's lip balm and also cheek tint. Mm-hmm. It comes in the cutest, it looks like a little deodorant, but it's just balm and it's totally sheer. And I like it in French melon, which is super hot pink.
French melon.
French melon. It looks good on anyone.
That's so
cute. You guys should try it on afterwards. It's and you don't have to look. It's so sheer that literally you can just go zhush, zhush. You put it on your cheek and just kind of rub. You don't have to look in the mirror. You just know that you look 1,000 times better instantly.
Cool.
I love it. It smells citrusy. It's my favorite thing. Nice. So I love that on my face. I'm super into, you will not be surprised at the name of this product. Beauty Counter makes a tinted moisturizer called Dew Skin.
It's SPF 20.
Like a DEW situation.
DEW.
Of course you like it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I am number two, as are many, many people in the world. Like, whenever we have a Goop pop up, I'm there, like, helping people, like,
do number two.
Try number two first, for sure.
Okay.
Love that. I mentioned the RMS concealer.
What is the best product for dewy skin? Is it dew skin, or, like, is that, like, just, like, a good, like, foundation type of thing? Like, but what is, like, the ultimate dewy skin product?
I mean, because that is your jam. Dewy skin comes from a number of things.
I thought she was going to say dewy skin comes from, like, 8 glasses
of water. No, 8 glasses of water. Although I do think fish oil helps. With moisturizing,
it's an inside out situation, yeah. Jess.
I knew it was going to be something like that.
But no, I would say it's exfoliating.
Okay. AHAs.
AHA is my original jam. The Goop Instant Facial has all 5 AHAs in it, plus beta hydroxy acid. So it's
Oh my God, I'm going to burn my face off.
That's exactly what Gwyneth said when she invented it.
What's that? I said the same thing as Gwyneth.
She was like, her brief was, I want something that rips my face off.
But in a good way.
In a good way. It does it. You put it on and you all of a sudden you're like, oh, my face is tingling. I will wash this off right now. Like, you wouldn't leave it on past that. You know, if you did, then it would
be. So if I get a tingle immediately, I'll rinse and I'll know that I've exfoliated.
And you're like super polished. And I feel like, A, it makes your skin more reflective, you know, and sort of dewy naturally. And it's, you know, all alpha hydroxy acids will make you better moisturized in the end.
Yeah.
And which feels like it isn't true always to me.
But it is true. Alpha hydroxy acids were originally developed for ichthyosis, which is a extreme dry skin condition.
Huh.
Like it smooths out the surface of your skin. It makes everything behave, and so you moisturize.
Like you
better.
Can suck in more moisture,
and you can protect your layer. My
barrier.
Your
stratum corneum.
Yeah.
Oh, we've all been to the same
events. But so I think exfoliation important, I love oil. You know, some people love moisturizer. I feel like if you do those things, that's your. You're already dewy, and then you add something like dew skin. In the conventional world, like Bobbi Brown the Balm is a very good.
Okay.
But I think it has to be a lot of things are called tinted moisturizer that aren't very moisturizing, and so you just have to experiment and find what looks good on you.
Okay.
You know? But dew skin
is a dew.
Yeah, it's definitely dewy. But it's not shiny. It's the perfect, you know, a lot of people think of dewy as being shiny, and they're not the same thing.
Okay.
Last question. Yours. Go.
What magazines do you read right now? If any.
I read magazines. I love them. I will always, always love World of Interiors. I love the new Architectural Digest. It's
the new
so good.
Architectural,
you know, the Amy Astley,
yes.
Former beauty editor, PS. I look at Vogue. I read The New Yorker.
Yeah.
I read the New York Review of Books. I read the New York Times. Like the daily, which I makes
paper
me such an
or on
paper.
The phone. Wow,
such old shirt.
Oh,
because
God.
If I was reading it on the phone today, I wouldn't have read about the like weird 70s man that just died. That like he, you know, was with Twiggy and he wrote poetry and he, you know,
you need to end on as the most Gene sentence you've ever said.
It's perfect.
You know? Wait, but I have to tell you what I have to add one other thing.
Yes.
Favorite mascara.
Oh my God, we didn't even ask.
What is your favorite
mascara?
Because I was like, yeah.
You're prepped for that? You're ready?
I was like, I know what my favorite mascara is.
What is it?
It is Juice Beauty Mascara.
Really?
Yes, you have to try it.
I feel like there are no good...
That's because you haven't tried Juice. I'm telling you, it's like thick. Don't look at my lashes because they are tiny and you'll be like, you know. But if you saw them in other mascara, you'd be like, she doesn't have lashes, the poor thing. It's like thick and dramatic and fantastic. It really like, you know, I'm a beauty editor like you. I have tried every fancy. I've tried every drugstore. When I want to look good, I get
go to the juice.
Okay.
And it's on theme with the dewiness. It's wonderful.
Delicious. Jean, this was.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Wildly satisfying. So good.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Raise a wand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
That was good.
That was our intern, Chloe. She's fabulous. She's trying out for the Raise a Wand singing competition. Belle took a break this week.
That had like a gentle like melody to it.
It was. It was really like nice. A little tinkle of a fairy. not a pee, not fairy pee. Fairy, I don't know what I'm
fairy,
saying.
Fairy tinkle.
Chloe looks like a fairy.
Hashtag fairy tinkle.
Just raise your damn wand.
Okay. Well, first I just want to do a little bit of an Ed note or what is it called? Like, you know, when people want to, like, when the New York Times gets it wrong.
Oh, yeah. Like not a fact check.
Like a...
Corrections.
Correction. So with my Avon shave oil that I love so much, I said it's going to last me till December. Guys, I guess maybe I was really conservative with my estimate. I'm almost done. But
that
it was
like a month. It was 3 weeks ago,
yeah,
I think.
But
you've been shaving a lot. It's a summer.
It's a summer, so I've been shaving a lot.
True.
And
it still is very inexpensive.
It was $6. It's $6 on Avon's website. So I just want to, I don't want you guys to think that I'm just like making up stuff.
Yeah.
So adjust your budgets
accordingly.
Yes.
Now, okay. This week.
Now, this week's Raise a Wand. Some people say, I can't wear eye cream because it stings. I found a really gentle eye cream and I've been using it for a couple of months.
Okay.
Okay. It's from a brand called Nudu Natural Beauty.
Spell, please.
Nudu. And I brought in my eye cream right here. They give you a generous amount. For as eye creams go, and it has like lots of omega oils, antioxidants, chamomile, and cucumber extracts, and it's fragrance free.
Do you think that's what stings for a lot of people?
I don't know. I don't have super sensitive.
You have rhino skin. We've discussed. Yes. Can I try?
Yeah. Not when it comes to like laser treatments or stuff like that, though. Like,
okay.
That,
so it doesn't sting.
But when it comes to products, I'm not very reactive. But this is very gentle, and you get a lot. I put it on. It absorbs pretty quickly. And I'm happy with it.
Okay. I like it.
I like it. I think that people, you know, sensitive folks will really enjoy it. How about you?
Jess, I'm shape-shifting. Have you seen this?
God.
It's the Urban Decay Naked Skin Shapeshifter Palette. It's super. I'm getting on this.
This fault's enormous.
It's super contoury and highlighty. However, bear with me.
You could have just thrown that at like the assailant.
The Naked Eye palette that everybody loves, great. I don't even wear eyeshadows. So there's 12 shadows in there I'm never going to use. Lip palettes, I don't wear. I'm blowing her mind right now. Like, I don't need 12 lipsticks. So then I saw this, and it has four powders and five creams in skin tones. So the powders, there's two matte kind of brownish shades depending on your skin tone.
You're
and
not
a
all those skin tones.
This
you
is
don't
actually the
that.
Medium to dark, and I'm using the fair to medium. Okay. And then there's five creams in like ranges of like nude tones depending on your skin tone. And I was like, that is a lot of product just to like reshape my face. And I know Bobby Brown doesn't like the contouring, whatever. I've been using the shit out of this thing.
Get
out of
here.
I've been using the cream, sort of like a cream-based shadow, sort of, because I don't wear eyeshadow, just to sort of color correct, like the purpley blueness in my lids. Uh-huh. I've been using the matte as a bronzer. Mm-hmm. And then the reason I wanted to raise a wand to it is, for the last 2 days that I was using it, the assistant in my department, Taylor, what up, Taylor, was like, you look good. Are you contouring? And I said, oh my God, do I look like I'm contouring? She's like, no. I just look at you from the same angle every day because she sits over to the left of me. So she always sees my cheekbones. And she's like, and your cheekbones are like looking good. And I was like, I don't look too contoury, do I? And she said, no, not at all. It's just she knows my face. And it was because I was using this. I did the three. I started at the top center of my forehead and made a three with the middle of the three coming right under the cheekbone and then back out to the side of my face and then the bottom of the three coming under my jawline.
One big three.
One
like
big
not,
three.
Not a bunch of little threes.
Nope,
one
just
big
one
three.
Big three with the powder and I feel like I looked very, you know, sculpted.
Yeah.
So if you're into this and you want to play around, truly I didn't think I was going to wear it out. I just wanted to play with it at night. It's kind of fun. Shapeshifter from Urban Decay.
That's cool. It's also a great name, Shapeshifter.
Yeah, I know. Raise a wand.
Awesome. Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.